The rebellious nations, the heathen, he says in verse number 1. Why do the heathen rage? He calls them heathen because they're ungodly, because they are outside of the covenant of God. We're in the Old Testament here, and so Israel is God's covenant people, and those outside of that covenant are called heathen, and they do all kinds of ungodly things, sacrificing their children, just practicing all kinds of devilment in their nation. And you can read about many of the things that they were doing in Leviticus, but they're called heathen for that reason. They're outside of the covenant of God. He says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? He says, there is a conspiracy against God's authority and against God's rule upon the earth. God set a certain king to be the ruler over his people, and it was going to be a worldwide government or rulership. And yet they said, we don't want this nation or this king to rule over us, so we're going to try and overthrow it. We're going to get together, we're going to make a council together, and we're going to try to overthrow the rule of God. Not going to tell us what to do. But then we hear about heaven's response to the heathens trying to overthrow God's rule. And heaven's response is not one of fear or worry, it's one of laughter. God is up there in the heavens, and he's laughing about what everyone on earth is trying to do. He's not a bit worried about it. Now, I don't know about you, but there's several things that you might want to hear from God in the future. But I guarantee you that laughter is not one of those things that you want to hear from God. One of these days, you might want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. One of these days, you're going to have to stand before God. What will he say to you? How will he respond to you? I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm not perfect by no means, and neither are you. But I want to be faithful with the time that God has given to me. One of these days, I want to hear, come up hither. One of these days, I want to hear the sound of the trumpet. One of these days, and I believe very, very soon, Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. He's going to take us off this old crummy, sin-cursed earth. We're going to be in heaven with the Lord, and I'm looking forward to that. But one of these days, I want to hear that. I want to hear the sound of the trumpet saying, come up hither. Amen. What else would I want to hear? I would want to hear, your name is written in the book of life. I want to hear that one of these days. And I'm going to hear that one of these days. As a matter of fact, my name is already in the book of life. Because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. I'm not trusting in my own righteousness or some other religious guru out there in the world. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to save me from my sins. Amen. And if you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior here this evening, one of these days when you stand before God, they're not going to find your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God is going to say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never, never knew you. Amen. That's what he will say one of these days. Yeah. And by the way, that's one of the things that you don't want to hear from God. Is, I never knew you. Amen. Jesus Christ said there will be some when that day comes, and God will say that to those people. You know, another thing that you might not want to hear from God, and that is silence. You don't want to hear silence from God. I want God to keep dealing with me. Amen. I want God to send me warnings. I want God to send me teachers and preachers, and I want him to speak to me out of his word, because when God becomes silent, buddy, you're in trouble. Saul, the king of Israel, found that out the hard way in the Old Testament. Boy, he was in a bind. The Philistines were closing in, and he was about to lose his kingship, and he was about to lose his country, and Saul had been rebelling against God, and he wanted to hear from God. And man, he went to the prophets, and the prophets didn't know anything. Samuel, the prophet, was dead. Man, he wanted to hear from God. He tried to get a vision from God. He said, God, speak to me. I want to know something. You know what God did? He didn't say a cotton-picking thing to Saul. because he was done with Saul. Boy, that's a sad shape. You know what he finally ended up doing? He went to a witch. He said, I got to hear something from the other side. I got to hear something from the supernatural. So I'm going to go to a witch, and I'm going to try and hear something. And he heard something. And God said, you're going to die, and so are your sons going to die. And he did die. Silence is a horrible thing to hear from God. But one thing you don't want to hear from God, and that's laughter. Because the laughter that we hear about and we read about in these scriptures, it's not a funny thing. God's not cracking jokes and trying to make you laugh or laughing with you. It's a bad laughter. The Bible says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Shall laugh. There was a conspiracy against God by the rulers and kings of the earth of that day, and they said, we're going to overthrow it. He laughs about it, and then he speaks to them, and he says, I have set my king upon my holy hill, and there's nothing that you can do about it, because I am God. His king was David, and then it was Solomon, and then it goes on from there. And he says, there's nothing that you can do about it. He said, not only that, I've chosen my city. I'm going to set him on my holy hill, and that is Jerusalem, is where he's going to set. There's nothing you can do about it. But this has a future application to it, not just a past, but a future application to it as well. Amen. One of these days, Jesus Christ will come back, and he will sit upon the throne in Jerusalem. Amen. He will be the Son of God. He is the Son of God, and he will sit upon that throne one of these days. And there will be nothing that anyone can do about it. The Bible speaks about how everyone will be coming against Jerusalem, and they will make war against Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ will come back, and he will smite them with a rod of iron, and he will take over the earth. David in the Old Testament and Solomon and all the kings after him were God's son sitting upon the throne, ruling over Israel. And Israel was God's son in a corporate sense. That's what he's talking about there in verse number 7. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Jesus Christ is God's son. There's nothing that you or I or anybody else can do about any of those things. But today, maybe in your case, and I know for my case in the past, you try to overthrow God's rule. I don't care what the Word of God has to say. I've got my own ideas. I've got my own way. I'm going to go my own way. I don't care what God has to say. I'm a lot smarter than God is. So I'm going to try and overthrow God's rule and God's authority. He's not going to tell me what to do. The Bible's not going to rule and reign over me. I can do what I want to do. You know what God's probably doing up there as you or I have that kind of attitude? He's not worried about it, saying, man, oh man, whew, he's fixing to overthrow me off the throne. That's not what God's doing. He might be up there laughing about it. God's not amused by our rebellion. God's not amused by our trying to overthrow his rule or his authority today, because I tell you what, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. There's nothing that anybody can do about that. Nothing whatsoever. I want to give you three aspects of the laughter of God, and when God laughs, what does it look like? And how could we avoid not hearing the laughter of God? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think you're going to audibly hear God laughing from heaven somewhere. But one of these days, if you live your life in rebellion to God, and you don't listen to what the Word of God has to say, you could look back one of these days, and those commandments and those things that you heard back in the back of your life back there, they could be laughing at you. Man, I wish I would have listened to what the preacher had to say. I wish I would have listened to what the Word of God has to say, because now I'm in a bind, and there's nothing I can do about it because I've already passed the time. What about the laugh of God? What does it look like? Like I said before, God is not up there laughing, cracking jokes. It's a laugh of contempt. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. It's not a funny laughter. It's a laugh of contempt. You know what he's doing? It's a laugh of scorning. He's saying, I tried to tell you, I tried to warn you, and you went on, and you didn't listen, and now it's too late. Too bad. You better listen when the Word of God is preached. You better listen to the Word of God, because one of these days it could be too late. And that laugh is not a funny laugh. It's a laugh of ridicule or mockery. God laughs five times in the Scriptures, and each time it's not a funny laugh. It's not a funny laugh. Job 5:22, Psalm 2:4, 37:13, 59:8, and Proverbs 1:26. Wisdom is personified, and it's laughing at the fool, at the one who didn't want to listen, at the one who wanted to rebel. Let me tell you something. The rebel never wins in the end. Never wins in the end. Now, you might have a lot of fun right now, but when you get to the end, the rebel's not going to have the last laugh. God's going to have the last laugh one of these days. It's almost unbelievable that man would attempt to rebel against his Creator. He doesn't listen to the warning signs. He doesn't listen to the commandments of God. He doesn't listen to what God tries to tell him. I was thinking back in my past life. It was about 2006 or 7, something like that. I was working on a pipeline job. We was laying maybe a quarter mile of pipe. We had our line all laid out there, and we were getting ready to lay our pipeline, and we had it all staked out. We had the pipe strung out on the right-of-way, and we had a 60-foot wide right-of-way. That's the place where we're going to work. That's what a right-of-way is. We're out there working, and I had my Tracco, and the Tracco is a big, heavy piece of machinery made out of metal, all steel, all iron. We had other heavy equipment out there, and we're working. We had our tailgate safety meeting, and there was a set of highline wires that went right straight across our right-of-way, about 30 feet tall. And we had our tailgate safety meeting, and everyone said, look out for the power lines. You don't want to hit the power lines, because a track hole can extend up tall enough to hit a power line, and so can a side boom. That's what we used to string the pipe with. So everyone was like, okay, don't hit the power lines. Watch out for them. Safety conscious. We had two big old 5x8 sheets of plywood with bright orange paint on them. It had big black letters that had arrows pointing up saying, highline wires, highline wires. You'd think we'd see those, don't you? Well, I'm second day on the job, that job anyway. I'm down at one end of the pipeline job, and I'm digging over there and getting my job done. And then I decide I'm going to track my Tracco down to the other end of the pipeline job. And there's nobody around. And if you're in a Tracco and you've got your arm down or your boom down, you can't see on this side of the Tracco. You got a blind spot over there. So a lot of time Tracco operators, they'll lift it all the way up so they can see around and look around. Well, that was me. And I was a rookie Tracco operator. I hadn't been doing it that long. But I got good after that. But I had that thing boomed all the way up. And I was all happy just going down the right of way like I was just like nothing. And I couldn't hear anything because it was loud in there. All you hear is metal tracks going over the dirt. You don't hear anything, nothing. And there I was. There was nobody around but two pickups on the very end of that pipeline job. One of them was my boss and one of them was the BP company man. And you don't want to make the BP company man mad. And there I go, and I'm tracking down the right-of-way, and I got my boom all the way up, happy as can be, and I get all the way down to the end, and all of a sudden I see somebody running out of that pickup. It's my boss, and his face is really, really red, and he's pointing at me, and he's yelling. And all I see is him going like that. And then what in the world is... Oh, no. There's the highline wires. They're cut in two, and they're laying back there on the ground. And then the BP company man got mad, and he got out of the pickup. And all of a sudden, I see my boss, and he runs back in his pickup, and he's throwing his arms, and he's yelling, boy, you talk about wanting to hide. I wanted to go crawl in a hole and never be seen again. And you know what? There was two big old huge orange signs that said, power lines, power lines. You know what those signs were doing? They were mocking me. They were sitting there laughing at me. Ha! We tried to tell you, but you walked right by us. Why didn't you look at the signs? You know who is the subject of the safety meeting the next morning? Me. I was the big spectacle. You know what I had to do after that? I had to go meet with BP bigwigs in an office and explain. They said, "Didn't you see the signs?" No, I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at the ground. I wasn't looking at the signs. What were you thinking whenever you did that? Don't you know you could have died? When I brought that boom down, there was two big old arc marks right across the side of that boom where those power lines had shorted out across there. Could have died. You know, that's the way a lot of people are today. There's all kinds of signs telling them to stop, telling them to quit doing what they're doing, telling them not to live an ungodly life, and they just roll right past those signs and they keep on going and they get down to the end of their life and they look back and boy, those signs are mocking them now because they had some warnings and they went on across it. Wisdom is laughing saying, "Yeah, hey, we tried to tell you, but you didn't want to listen. You rejected knowledge. You rejected the preaching and you went on. Guess what happens now? You got to pay the piper. One of these days, it's going to catch up with you. One of these days, if you keep on living an ungodly life and you keep on living in sin and you keep on doing the things that you're doing, one of these days, it's going to catch up with you." Amen. Now you think, "Oh, it's not going to catch up with me. I can get away with it. I'll get away with it." No, you won't. No, you won't. You might get away with it for a while. Sin is fun for a season. But then after a while, it gets you. Amen. Your conscience will start tearing you up. Your body will start tearing you up. Your mind will start tearing you up. And you'll think, "Oh, man, should have listened. They tried to tell me. But man, I was so smart, I just went on right by all those signs and kept on going." It says in Psalm 37, 12 and 13, "The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him." He's going to laugh because you were going against his will. You were going against his word. "For he seeth his day coming." You know, God already sees the end. He already sees where you're going. He can see the end, but you can't. But God can. You don't want to hear God laugh one of these days. You don't want to hear the commandments of God mocking you one of these days. You better get right. You better get right. It says in Psalm 59, 7 and 8, "Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have the heathen in derision." You need to repent. Get right with God if you're not right with God. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until it's too late. God laughs because He has the answer. He's got the instruction. He's got the help that you need. All you need to do is just take it. Man, just submit yourself to the Word of God. Submit yourself to Him and turn to Him. The next thing that God laughs about is the imagination of man. He says, "Why do the people rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" Boy, they're imagining a vain thing, man. They got empty, vain imaginations. They think that they can overthrow the rule of God. You talk about empty and vain. Man, you're not going to overthrow God. None whatsoever. They think, man, this world would be a much better place if God wasn't around and there wasn't all these rules and regulations and restrictions, and man could do just whatever they please. Be a lot better. Boy, God's laughing about that, saying, "Boy, you don't know what kind of bind you're in. If I was to let you go and do whatever you wanted to do, you'd destroy yourself in about 24 hours. It wouldn't take long at all. The only reason that you're here today and that you're alive and breathing is because of the grace of God." Amen. That's the only reason why. That's the only reason why I'm here, is because of the grace of God. Amen. All God's got to do is just take His hand off and boom, you'd kill yourself in no time flat. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. They don't want any kind of restrictions or any kind of rules or regulations. Let me tell you what that is. That's a satanic pipe dream is what that is. Amen. Satanic pipe dream. Because Satan tempted Eve with the same kind of line. He said, just leave God alone and do whatever you want to do. That's a vain imagination. God's laughing about those kinds of things. Man uses his imagination to attempt to eliminate God's authority over him. They tried it way back at the Tower of Babel. They said, man, let's build a big, huge tower up to heaven, and let's have a one-world religion and a one-world government and get rid of God. You know what God did? He came down and scrambled their language, and that's all he had to do. That's it. We ain't going to get rid of the authority of God. There's no way. He made us. They've been trying to do that forever. Islam imagines that God did not have a son. Yeah. One of these days they're going to bow down to him and call him Lord. Right. That's what they're going to do. John Lennon wanted to pretend that there was no God, and so he wrote a song about it. He said, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Not in the future. Don't worry about that judgment coming. Just live for today. You're not going to have to give an account of your actions or anything like that. Vain imagination right there. I suppose that Pope Francis agrees with John Lennon because he just had an interview with atheist Eugenio Scalfari. And what Pope Francis said of unbelievers was this: those who do not repent and cannot therefore be forgiven disappear. There is no hell. There is the disappearance of sinful souls. Pope Francis says, hey, there's no hell. I mean, I'm talking to an atheist, and so I don't need to worry about telling him what my church catechism actually teaches. His church actually teaches in their catechism that there is an eternal place of fire and damnation. And yet he denies it. And many of his people in his church are calling him out on it. And they ought to, because he's lying. He ought to tell that atheist the truth. One of these days there is coming a day where people will be thrown into a lake of fire. And they're not going to get out. It's God's prison. And there's nothing that we can do about it. So man tries to eliminate God. And when he does, he will end up destroying himself. That's what's happened to America. They tried to get rid of God. They tried to kick him out of schools, kick him out of their lives. And all they do is self-destruct. Within God's law and within his boundaries is where you find the blessings and the happiness. That's why you ought to love the Word of God. That's where you're going to find happiness. Obeying Him, loving Him, all of these different things. We were made to reflect the image of God and enjoy His presence. Number three, God lasts because His purpose is eternal. And God's already decreed what He's going to do. And there's nothing that you or anybody else out in this world can overthrow that. His purposes are eternal. God has already selected His king before time, way before time. He already has plan in motion. Jesus Christ will be my king, and Jesus Christ is eternal. What does He say there in verse number 6? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Jesus Christ is God's king. There's nothing that you and I can do to overthrow that. Not that we would want to, but anybody outside of these four walls. Jesus Christ is eternal. He says, before Abraham was, I am. He was around a long time before time was, a long time before you and I were. And so, who would you or I be to try and overthrow that, or anybody else, any other human being? Jesus Christ is eternal. His purposes are eternal. God's already selected His king, and God has already selected His city, and that is Jerusalem. That's where God rules and reigns. Not only the heavenly Jerusalem up there in the heavens, but the earthly Jerusalem. Jesus Christ will come and He will sit upon that throne. Amen. And He will rule and reign for 1,000 years. The Bible tells us that. So God laughs because His purposes are eternal. Jerusalem is the city where God has chosen to put His name and establish his king. There are at least 34 verses that explicitly state that Jerusalem is a place where God has placed his name. There's nothing that you and I can do about that. He says in 2 Kings 21:4, in Jerusalem will I put my name. So how will you and I avoid hearing the laughter of God, avoid regret when you get down to the end of your life? Number one, we must search out wisdom and instruction. He says in verse number 10, be wise now, therefore, O kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. You need to seek out some wisdom and some knowledge. Now, if God is telling earthly kings and judges who are the wisest of the land to search out wisdom and knowledge, how much more do you and I need to search out wisdom and knowledge? We need it. Like we need a drink of water every day. We need the Word of God. The Bible tells us out of the mouth of the Lord comes wisdom and understanding. That's why we need to read the Word of God and memorize the Word of God. Search out some instruction and knowledge. The Bible tells us if we lack wisdom, we can ask God and He will give it to us liberally and He won't hold it back from us. Number two, we need to serve the Lord. How much time do you think that you have here upon this earth? Well, the Bible tells us we might have 70 years. We might have less than that, or we might have more than that. But I want to ask each and every one of you here this evening, is there anything better that you could do with your time than serving your almighty Creator? I don't think that there is. He says in verse number 11, serve the Lord with fear and trembling. That's what we must do with our time. Serve God with fear and trembling. If you decide to serve yourself with your life, you're going to get down to the end of your life and find out that it was a big, empty waste of time. He says, serve the Lord with fear and trembling. Why do we fear God and why do we serve Him? Because, man, we love God. At least you ought to. I'm sure each and every one of you do. That's why we serve the Lord, because we love Him. You know why I don't go around offending my wife? Because I love her. I fear offending her, and I love her. Do you fear offending God? I think many times Christians fear offending their neighbor more than they fear offending God. They fear doing without in their life more than they fear offending God. He's a holy and a righteous God. We should fear offending Him. He is almighty. He is the ultimate judge. Paul says in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling because God's working in you. So we ought to fear Him. Fear Him. Number three, we must submit to Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 12, kiss the Son, lest ye be angry and perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. We don't turn away from Jesus Christ. We get real close to Jesus Christ and we kiss Him. And we embrace Him, and we love Him. Why? Because He's the Son of God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. We submit to His lordship. We follow Him in discipleship. We serve Him and submit to Him. Why else? Why would you want to put your faith or trust in anything else besides Jesus Christ? One of these days, you're going to get down to the end of your life, and you're going to have to face God. What are you going to hear? What words are you going to hear? Maybe you don't know if you're saved. Maybe you've never been born again. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know if you're going to die today or tomorrow or a week or a year. You don't know what you have. If you don't know if you've been born again or saved, you ought to get that settled this evening. Make sure that you know Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ knows you before it's too late. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,